Okay, we left off last time discussing the machloka of Tumas Hadeshen and Tumas Maril as to the status of a Hepsikara performed after the Tzibur Davin's Marav early. Tumas Hadeshen is Machmir, the Maril is Mako, and as a practical matter, the bottom line of the Ramah is that even if L'chachila we should be Machmir to avoid the Shaila, if push comes to shove, a woman performs a Hepsikara after the Tzibur Davin's Marav, and according to the Dov Mervava, even if she herself davens Marv, the Shach is Machmir, but we're Makel on that way, the Dov Mervava as well. Push comes to shove, all these situations, we would be Machshir, Hefsek Tara, Bod Hayam Gadol, even if the Tzibur and even if the woman herself already davened Marv. We noted that this relates to the broader question as to what the status of Zman Tosefes Shabbos and the like is. Regarding other halachas, is Tosefes Shabbos only l'inyan ishter malacha? Is it l'inyan other things as well? 2 days in Tosefes Ksubas Membav. And relevant, for example, as to whether if you make Shabbos early and start the Suda Mibod Yom, you have to have a kezayis of pas after chase, machlokas tav marshal, and the yesh machmir, yesh makil, the reshefti thinks it should be choshesh l'chumra. I believe Rabbi Willig is not as concerned with myself. There's a piece of that in my sefer if you want to take a look on Suda Shabbos, Bisman Tosefes Shabbos. But there's another comment to the Shach here, which the later Achronim find curious. In Sivkata and Dalit, so the Shach begins the piece, Afil Asu Akal Shabbos, Ki Hi Tosefes Lo Shayach Inyanida, Vitzarech Kav Dalit shows that the Chorva, the Tumas Hadeshen, the Krula, the Makilim, is assuming that Tosefes Shabbos or Tosefes Yom, even the Yom Tzvila, is not relevant to Inyan Nida. Vitzarech Kaf Dalet Shos. And you need 24 hours. He quotes the Tosefes in Ksuvas Mem Zayin. Ad Kan Lashana Agor. And then he comes back to this at the end of Sif Katan. So the Shach here that says that you need Kaftal Shos and Kishayom Gadol Chashmina Yom Velayla Shavim, the later Achronim understand in the Shach, and there's a parallel Shach that he's Mitzayin here in Simon Kuf Pei Dalet, in the context of vestos, in defining the length of a vest, that if you have a longer day, where the daytime hours, the daylight hours, are more than 12 hours, then we would calculate sof hayom, potentially le'inyan hefsek tara, le'inyan vestos, as, let's say, 6 p.m. on a 6 to 6 day, even if Shia ends up being at 7:30 or 8 or 8:30. So that's how the Shach is understood by some in this reference to Kaftal Shos, which is a difficult shita to understand and to sustain. And if you take a look, for example, at the Dazim Revava, Dagum Ravava says, Dvar of Tamirim. Varei afilu l'inyan isra skila. Osa shah adayin dino kaya mamish. Ubekayif ber Shabbos osa mechachil melacha ad samach ben ashmashas. V'lar mina de chashvina yom v'lai l'shavim. If that's really what the Shach meant, does that mean to say that l'inyan Shabbos, you have to be machmir for Isra Malacha after 6 p.m. in the summer, because that's an even 12 hours of daylight. No one ever said such a thing. So if there's no such chumra when it comes to Malacha Shabbos, why would you suddenly be machmir for Hefsek Tara? The other way, Agar Hevi Raya Mimatsa V'Omer, the Atu Bishnasa Ibrar Sheyomu Shal Erev Pesach Gadol. Yeah, Yosi the Achilas Matzah Void Yom Gadol. So that means to say that if Shki is later than 6 in that model, then you can be Yosi the Achilas Matzah when it's the right side in Erev Pesach. V'chule. It concludes. Kavdal shel shehizker agur, hainer shel manios, vekavanos v'asof hayom. All the argument was that you have to calculate based on shel manios when you calculate mani hayom. But the hefekara is kasher ad sof hayom, and there's no suggestion that before shkia would be any would make any difference whether it's the winter or the summer. Sof hayom is at shkia, and the Atzer Levona says that all the shach really meant, or at least all the ugger side of the shach meant, is that, and the Achronim say the same thing in Kuf Pei Daled by Vestas, which we'll see, that things could be off by a minute or two, perhaps. That if you have yesterday's Shkia was a minute earlier than today's Shkia, so maybe we'll calculate based on yesterday's Shkia as opposed to today's Shkia, but nothing broader than that. But if you look at the Agur himself, the Lashon of the printed Agur, it means as follows. This is in Elef Shin Ayin Zayin. Afilu be'er Shabbos, achrei tfilas arvis, the kabbalah Shabbos. So even if we're talking about er Shabbos after they daven Maariv, ki ahita sefes lo shaycha le'inyanita. That Tosefes Shabbos, when you make Shabbos early, you daven Kabbalah Shabbos and Maariv early, that Tosefes is lo shaycha le'inyan nida, v'tzarech kavdalet shavs. Ahi Tosefes lo shaycha le'inyan nida, v'tzarech kavdalet shavs. It seems pretty clear that the reference to kavdalet shavs in the Ogur, which is the source that the Shach is quoting, is that all he means to say is Tosefes Shabbos is not considered the subsequent day le'inyan hilchos nida, le'inyan hefsek tara, and you need to calculate a full calendrical, a full daytime day. So Kavdal Shavuos isn't some magical number that you calculate based on equal sunlight and darkness. It just means that you calculate based on the regular day. So whenever Shkia is, that is the Sof Hayom, and Tosefes Shabbos is not considered the next day L'inyan Nida, it's considered the previous day. So whatever the Kavanas HaShach is, but in the Agur itself, it seems that the Agur did not need to say what the later Achronim understood the Shach to be quoting the saying. And maybe that's all the Shach means as well, given that he's just quoting the Agur. Okay. In Sif Gimel, the Rama writes, Umina kasherhu kisha isha posekis betara shetirchat vilaveshes levana. That it's a mina kasher, when a woman does a hefek tara, she should wash herself and then put on levanim. But if all she's rochetzes is osamakom, that is sufficient. Again, the Englishanos, kigon isha horaches bederach, she's on the road, the ela begadim, and she doesn't have levanim to change into, tuchal lisper zayin nekiim, raksha chalak naki baduk midah. So the Ramah here lumps together Rechitza with Levanim. Let's focus on Rechitza for now, and then we'll move on to Levanim a little bit later. So this minhag that the Ramah records, referring to doing Rechitza prior to Hefek Tara, is based on a Rokeach. The Lashon of Rokeach, Simin Shin Yud Ches, is Rochetzas Pana HaShalmata. So in the Rokeach, the only reference to Rechitza is just of Rechitza's Osamakos, that she has to wash out that area where she's going to perform the Hefsek Tara. Rabbi Morgenstern points out that Lashon Mordechai B'Shem Rokeach is different, and this may be the Tzion in the Ramah is Mordechai B'Shem Rokeach. So the way Mordechai quotes the Rokeach is different than the printed work half we have. Mordechai writes, Simon Tafshin Lamed Zayin, Tafshin Lamed Zayin, Min HaKasher Hu, Kishayisha Mafekes Betara, Lirchotz, V'lo Dosh Levanim. To do Rechitz and to wear Levanim. Amnam in Eina Rochetzes El Panesh HaMata, Daya Bekach. However, if she's only Rochetzes Panesh HaMata, that's sufficient. So that's essentially the Lashon HaRamah, which is based on the Mordechai's Rokeach, which is different than the Rokeach of Eina. The Mordechai's Rokeach says, as a lechachila matter, the appropriate minig is to be rochetzes an area wider than osamakum. It doesn't define how wide, but the minig is to do rechitza beyond osamakum. But b'di'avad, if she's only rochetzes osamakum, then that is a sufficient kiyum of the minig. Rabbi Morgenzer quotes chapter 12, Ara 8, B'shem Rav Yashiv, that there's no, the postum discuss being rochetzes, the lower part of the body, but there's no need to wash the entire body. You don't have to take a bath, you don't have to wash the entire body. Even the lechachila, the minhag of the Mordechai's rokeach, is the lower part of the body, or the broader area, but not the entire body. There is another Yehuda. No Yehuda, comma Simi Ben Gimel. No Yehuda, comma Simi Ben Gimel, who recommends taking a bath and then doing a more robust rechitza. The common practice is to the chachila, take a shower to be rechetzes. More than Samakam, but yeah, Shabbos, where any situation where that's difficult, or especially in Shabbos, we'll talk about we have to do more curtail the Rechitza. So then, push comes to shove, just doing Rechitza Samakam is sufficient. What is the reason for this minag of washing the area prior to doing the Hafsik Tara? Take a look at the Torah Sashlamim in Sifkat and Vav. Teresa Shlomo writes, "Hatam b'chol zeh, du'urai nislach lech gufa el chaluka be'is hakasim." We're concerned that maybe either on her body or on her garment there was some stain, some kesem. The timotzei b'sach hashiv nekiyim, and she may find this kesem during shiv nekiyim. The oz ain't tolin. If you find the kesem during shiv nekiyim, you have no right to be tolin and say, "Oh, maybe it came. Maybe it was here beforehand. Maybe it got onto the garment before Shivan Akim." Kimavur Basamuch, Ilfizet. In Bidi Evet, Safra Zayin Akim below Rechitza. So let's say she didn't wash herself, and then she goes straight into the Shivan Akim. In Bidi Evet, Safra Zayin Akim below Rechitza, Vilavishachal. The Achakach Bodekas Kaluka, the Gufa. And then she checks her garment, her body. Vilo nimsa shun kesem, and there's no kesem, mutaras litbo, she would be allowed to go to the mikvah. Okay, so the concern, according to the Torah Sashlamim, is litovasa. So if a woman doesn't wash herself, and legitimately, and she doesn't put on levadim, but let's focus on washing herself, so she doesn't wash herself, and she finds a kesem al-basara. So that kesem might have been there beforehand, but she has no right to be told on the fact that it was there beforehand, and she's going to have to be machmir. Doing the rechitza would eliminate any such kesem that she may unexpectedly find later. So washing out the area is going to remove any potential kesem that might have gotten caked on her body, such that she's not going to be tripped up falsely by a kesem that really predated the Shimon Akim. But the Torah Sashlam says, since this minag is essentially l'tov v'asa, if she didn't do the rechitza, it's not going to harm her. If she didn't do the rechitza, and there's no kesem found during the Shimon Akim, so she's still home free. The takana, the minag of rechitza is l'tov v'asa, to avoid a potential problem where there is an old kesem that she's going to find and have to be machmira. If you do a rechitza, that would eliminate any such kesem, presumably, and then that would be advantageous to the woman. But says the Taras Hashem, the first conclusion, she did do the rechitza, since it's the Tav Asa, it's not going to disadvantage her any further, as long as there's no trip up during the Shivan Akim. Okay. So does everyone agree to this reason that the minig of rechitza is l'tov asa? The Atzei Ravona writes as follows. V'levashas levanim. Kasa v'minchas Yaakov, the Taras Hashlamim. Hatam shamin eslachay gufa o chaluka be'ezek asem. V'timsa v'sal tzayin akiyin v'ein tolin. V'af im tolin achar gimel yamin. Even if he were to say that you could be Tola after the first few days of Shivna Kiyam, even if we were to say in theory that if a woman finds a kastam on day four, she has a right to be Tola and say that that kastam came from earlier, before the Shivna Kiyam. Chayshina on the Hapach, we're concerned for the opposite. Shema Tira V'tislabo. So maybe she'll see a kastam, and it's really a new kastam, but she's going to falsely claim it as an old kesem, and she's going to unjustly, improperly, become tahora, when really there's a kesem that was new and should have been sosaris or shivan akiyam. Is that a perplexed face behind the mask?
Yeah, I just didn't
So so we have to explain it, but translating the words, what the Atzei Ravona is saying is that even if, so as long as you can't be taller during Shivan Akiyam, even if you could be taller during Shivan Akiyam, and we'll see when we get to Shivan Akiyam that there may be a difference in chomer between the first 3 days and the rest of the Shivan Akiyam. You know, nobody would entertain that you could be Tola during the first few days. But even if you would entertain that you could be Tola during the end of Shivan Akiyam, we're choshesh that maybe she'll see a kesem, and she'll be Tola that kesem is an old kesem, which isn't Soseris, when in reality it's a new kesem that is Soseris. Adkan Dvarev, as far as we're concerned. Kemer? So what does he mean to say? So Rabbi Forrest, and I think Rabbi Eider just, like, is signed this with that explanation. They understand that the Atzei Ravona and the Sidri Torah and Sifkat and Yubayz says the same thing. The Atzei Ravona is saying that the reason for Rechitza is not L'tov Asa, but to disadvantage her. Because if you don't do the rechitza, then she may at some point unjustly be told that this is an old kesem, when in reality it's a new kesem. So if you do the rechitza, you eliminate the possibility of being told an old kesem, and you have to say it's a new kesem, which is going to be sosaris v'shivan akiyam. So in that seer, doing the rechitza ends up to her disadvantage in a sense. Not disadvantage kapish maya, because that just indicates the truth, but disadvantage in terms of her tower process, that because she did the rechitza, you won't have any ability to be tola on a previous kesem, the tola the kesem on a previous episode. So that's how Rabbi Forrest presents this as the Levana, and I think Rabbi Eider means to present it that way also. I'm not convinced if that is his kavana, because could be the Atzei Ravona is just saying Aratzad, that Lemaisa we're not Tola during Shivan Akiyam at all. But even if you were to be Tola during Shivan Akiyam, in theory, you could have the opposite consideration as well, that Rechitza would end up being to her disadvantage. But not to say that that's the reason for the midag, or the takana, if you will, of doing mechitza. So I'm not sure if the answer to the one is necessarily saying that the midag was with us on that seer. He's saying, I'll say that you could entertain being tala nekasem, derishim nekiyim. So in that case, the mechitza may end up being marasa, but not that that was the reason for the takana. But as a practical matter, as the Torah Sashama concludes, and all the later posts can say this, that even if the reason is only the tavasa, but you don't have license to dispense with the minhag, you can't say any mizonis veniosa, that don't bother me with your favors, I'm not interested. Well, that's the minhag, and you have to follow the minhag. Once the minhag is established, there's no negotiating it. Ramosha has a tshuva, Chelek Aleph Yerodeya Simen Sadi Hei, Chelek Aleph Simen Sadi Hei, in which he just notes that, let's say a woman did not wash herself. Again, the Ramosha says that Lamaisa, if a woman doesn't wash herself, B'shas Adchak, then you can still proceed with the Shiva Nikir. Ramosha says, in a case where a woman didn't wash herself, and she did a Hefsek Tara, so she didn't wash herself before the Hefsek Tara, and then she did a Hefsek Tara, and then she found Ksamim on, she didn't wash herself, she did a Hefsek Tara, and then she washed herself after the Hefsek Tara. And then when she was drying herself with a towel, she found Ksamim on the towel. So, L'maisa, Moshe says, so there you have to be machmir. You can't say, has she done the rechitza? Has she done the rechitza and found Ksamim on the towel? So it definitely would be a problem. But the fact that she didn't do the rechitza, that doesn't help her now to say, oh, now you can be tola. Now you can be tola on the maybe the ksam were there before. The fact that she didn't do the rechitza doesn't give her now license to be tola the ksam that she finds on the towel as being there previously. Okay, what is the practical, advisable time or window of time during which to perform the rechitza leading up to the Hefsek Tara? So Rabbi Morgenstern calls from Rav Yashiv. Now Rav Yashiv said that people should perform the rechitza within a half hour of the Hefsek Tara. So if you do the Hefsek Tara within a half hour before Shkia, Samach Ben Hashmashos, then the rechitza should be a half hour before the half hour. That should be an hour before Shkia. But if that's impractical, then you do it earlier. So the point is that it should be done in relative proximity to the Hefsek Tara. That's what Rabbi Morgenstern quotes from Rabbi Yashiv. Rabbi Frost writes that he doesn't think that you need to be mitzamsem that much. As long as the flow has stopped, he's not saying any more dam, so then you can do the rechitza. The point of the rechitza is to remove any potential ksamim that might be there residually. So as long as the re has stopped and there's no concern of new ksamim forming, so then you can do the rechitza. So if on day five a woman's already stopped the flow by the morning, she can do the rechitza in the morning, even if she's going to do the Hefsek Tara in the later afternoon. That's what Rabbi Forrest writes. In the other direction, the Chazon Ish in Simen Pei Aleph is concerned that you shouldn't do the bedika immediately after the rechitza. Because if you're going to do the bedika right after the rechitza, maybe the rechitza is somehow going to mask or potentially wash away dam that legitimately would have shown up on the Hafsek Tara. So there has to be some break between the Rechitza and the Hafsek Tara to allow for whatever moisture was generated by the Rechitza to evaporate and not obscure potential dam that would show in a Hafsek Tara. The Chazon Ish doesn't give a shiur for how long to wait. He just says that you shouldn't do the Hafsek Tara immediately after the washing. Bava Yishulchan, in his Be'urim Tisif Aleph, is masig on the Chazon Ish that lo matzin is such a chumra in earlier times, and you would have expected someone to have said this before the Chazon Ish, if this was a legitimate concern, that the Rechitza, that a Hafsek Tara performed immediately after Rechitza would be compromised by the Rechitza. Ramosha writes, in Yerodea Chelik Bey Simon Ayin Aleph, Yerodea Chelik Bey Simon Ayin Aleph, Ubidavar im Rasha Lirchot Asma Bosa Makom Yafa Kona Bedikos. So Moshe here is talking about a Bedika during Shiva Nikim, but it's the same concern that the Chazon Ish raises for Hafsek Tara would be relevant to a Bedika as well. If you're going to wash yourself right before Bedika, that could potentially compromise the effectiveness of the Bedika. So Moshe writes, Bistam isha laka chisaron bezeh, sharei kvar b'chazaka shepasku demeh. So, in principle, it's not really a concern, because the woman's already muchzakes as not seeing dam anymore. Again, he's talking about bedikas during Shiva Nikim, where you already were master b'tara, so she's muchzakes not to see dam. They're not really concerned that the rechitza is going to compromise the bedika, because she's not presumed to be seeing dam anymore. But Ramosha says that it's preferable to wait Zman Katsar, which he says around a quarter of an hour before doing the Bedika. So Ramosha recommends waiting 15 minutes before performing a Bedika after washing. That's what they call from Rav Yashiv, 15 minutes. Rabbi Karp says 10 minutes. Is sufficient. And when Rabbi Willow talks about this, he says a few minutes, lechachila. But b'di'avad, even if you did it, Rabbi Willow at least would say b'di'avad, even if you did it right away afterwards, b'di'avad, the Hafsek Tara would be valid. But in general, poskim are at least choshesh, the Ba'alei Shulchan notwithstanding, many poskim are choshesh for the Chazon Ish, to wait at least a little bit of time after doing the washing before doing the Hafsek Tara. And in terms of Hafsek Tara on Shabbos, the Mishnah Brura Simon Shin Kavav Sifkat and Vav, Shin Kavav Sifkat and Vav writes that women doing Hafsek Tara on Shabbos is allowed to wash yourself b'chan and shehuch m'mer Shabbos v'yantiv. That's machlokas whether the din of panav yad v'raglav, that you can wash your panav yad v'raglav on Shabbos with water heated before Shabbos, is that dafka panav yad v'raglav, or is it applied to other evarim as well? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes l'kul on this, that it's mutter to use chan and shehuch m'mer Shabbos, as long as you don't run into any schita problem. So when you need to do a Hafsek Tara on Shabbos, in principle, if you want to use and have access to Chan and Shuch M'er Shabbos, if you're able to do it in a way that avoids skit, then fine. Then if not, you use cold water and just in a way that avoids skit, rinse out that area. And we're makel in Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur as well. In Tisha B'Av, it's Taf Kuf Nun Aleph, the Ramah and Sifta Zayin, that were Maker and Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur as well, that the Rechitza for Hefsek Tara is not considered a Rechitza Shel Tanug, and therefore is Mutter on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur as well. Okay. So let's talk now about the Malch Dachuk. So we had previously discussed Malch Dachuk in the context of where it's necessary to make a din, Biyom Aleph L'Riyasa. What about Malch Dachuk under normal circumstances where Hefsek Tara is performed, not Biyom Aleph L'Riyasa, and not even, we discussed whether you have to treat Yom Riyah as Yom Aleph as well. So the Beis Yosef quotes, the Beis Yosef writes as follows. V'lima yakru divei Rashba. So the Beis Yosef writes that he's very fond of what the Rashba writes. In the Torah Sabayis HaKatzar Kaftah Amid Aleph. L'olam yilamid adam b'sof beiso. Sheteya isha bodekes yom hefek tarasa b'mohtachak. A person should educate the members of his household that a woman should use a Malch Dachuk in conjunction with the Hefsek Tara. And that Malch Dachuk should be positioned internally for the entire period of Benish Mashas. Shezua Bedika Motsia Mide Kol Safek. Because that super Bedika of Hefsek Tara avoids any potential Safek. Right, that's v'chiyadav in a now called Ben Hashmashos, the Lashon of Rabbi Yehuda, and Samachasim and Beis. That's the basis that that would be the super bedika, that would avoid any potential chashash, that would ascertain, that would be able to ascertain with relative certainty that even after the Hefsek Tara is performed, there's no subsequent dam ad sof hayom if you have a Malch Dachuk Ben Hashmashos. That's Lashon of Ashba. And Beis Yosef continues, and he doesn't know why the Torah, who quotes the Rashba, doesn't quote this part. So Beis Yosef thinks that this recommendation of the Rashba is to be endorsed, and this avoids any potential problems. That's what the Mechaber writes in Sifra Aleph. La'olam yilamid adam b'sof beiso, sh'tei bodekas b'yom hefsek tarasa b'malch dachuk, v'she'yehe sham kol ben hashmashos, sh'zua b'dika motziya midei kol safek. Okay. The Ramah adds two words. La'olam yilamid adam l'hachmer l'chachila. The Ramah says, "Lahachmir lechachila," that a person should instruct the members of his household, "Lahachmir lechachila." Aruch Hashocha and Sifkas Din Yedzayin is bothered by this chumrah. He goes to Beis Yosef, and he says, "To be honey, kevan shagama dina kodem." The fact that we're machmir to do a hefsek tara samach ben hashmashos is itself a chumrah, because be'ikra did we assume that a bedika shachris, as long as it's not yom aleph l'riyasa, is kosher of hefsek tara. So the fact that we do a bedika hefsek tara b'sof hayom samach ben hashmashos, that itself is a chumrah to be choshish for Rabbi Yehuda on some level. Okay. So eich hichmir chumrah chumrah. So why the Mechaber suddenly add another chumrah of Malch Dachuk on top of that chumrah of Hefsek Tara b'sof hayom? Ube'emes sh'Rabbeinu Ramah higi al dvarav de'olam yilamid adam mizal lahachmir lechachila. So the Ramah tempers what the Mechaber writes and says that's only a chumrah lechachila. The Aruch HaShulchan says, that Mechatesi even betaras chumra to be machmer that way. And then he says, Kavanus Rabbeinu Ramahu, שאף הבעל אשתו לא יאמר שזו בעיקר הדין, כדי שלא להכשילה במותוכה לעשות ותצבעת עם פרי רפא. He said, Kavanah של רמה, is the only Lamed Adam, that this is only a chumah, that if you're going to instruct, it's not the only Lamed Adam, that we're editorializing, Mr. Husband, you should be aware that this is a chumah, but just tell your wife to do it without a comment. No, that when you tell your wife, you have to make sure that she realizes that this is only a chumah ba'alma, you're not insisting on it, because otherwise we're worried that it's a chumah asim l'dekula, that she's not going to be able to perform the mafdach, and then she's not going to do the hafsatara, or she'll delay the hafsatara, and she'll be mevatel mipiri arivya. So the Aruch HaShulchan is not a fan of this chumra of mafdach. Rakhi Tshuva Sivkat in Yud Beis quotes from the Sefer Mekor Chaim the same thing, that the Ramah only meant to say that it's a chumra ba'alma u'mitzvah minam mufchar, but on an ikar din level, it's not necessary even l'chachila. So it's a discretional, perhaps optimal chumra, but totally discretional. And that's in the spirit of what the Aruch HaShulchan observes. So given that, at least with the Ramban's emendation, in principle, Mochdachig is on a certain level of chumra, so Poskim tend to cut some slack where there's a Eis HaTzorech or Shas Tzchak, or maybe even less than a Shas Tzchak. Rabbi Neuberger told me that he heard reliable testimony that Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik, Zechron Levracha, would routinely be Mekel, even the Chachila, not to require Mochdachig. They would tell people that there's no need to be machmir for mochdachuk at all, even if there's no particular shafat chak or a compromise situation. Rabbi Neuberger himself told me that he's mekel lechachila for postpartum women for at least a number of months postpartum, not to bother with a mochdachuk. Rabbi Willig tends to be pretty maker with Mafdachuk also, that wherever there's any irritation or even discomfort, that you could dispense with a Mafdachuk. Since after all, Chavis Das writes in Simon Kufsari Aleph, the end of Sivkat and Ches, Kufsari Aleph, the end of Sivkat and Ches, that a Mafdachuk means that you're plugging up the entire internal area up to the Beis HaRachem, which is almost practically impossible. And if that's the case, and according to the Chavis Das, we never do a real Mochtachuk anyway. So in Kfar Oskfar, if we're not really able to do an authentic Mochtachuk, then there are more grounds to be Mekel not to require it. Rabbi Karp has another Mochdachuk Kula, volume 2, page Sadi Beis. We had discussed previously in the Shach and Sivkat and Vav in addressing what's the relevance of Yom Aleph L'Riyasa Bismanenu. The Shach said Yom Aleph L'Riyasa is relevant if a woman is Sasaris or Shivanakiyam. Sasaris or Shivanakiyam, then you're not going to start the clock for another 5 days. You don't need another 5 days. So she's so serious in the morning, she could do a hefsek that afternoon as long as she stops seeing any dam. Okay. So Rabbi Karp observes that that shach is not so pasha that you have to treat that as a yom hari'iyah. That, no, maybe the others, other Achronim argue, he quotes, maybe you would say that if it's only a problematic bedika, that you wouldn't consider that, we're not talking about a Riyah Mamish, but you have a problematic bedika, you find a dot of red on the bedika cloth, so the Shach says that would be considered Yom Riyasa, not necessarily so Pasha. So even if we're machmir like the Shach to treat that as Yom Riyasa, but you don't have to be machmir to treat that as Yom Riyasa, the Indian requiring a Mechdachuk Mikra Adin. So, I'm sorry?
Why would not be considered a
Riyah? It would not be considered a... It would not be considered Yom... Because the reason for the Chumrah of Yom Aleph L'Riyasa is Mayanasa Pasuach. Hotsaka Mayanasa Pasuach. So, where a woman has a regular flow, so that's Mayanasa Pasuach, that, like the Rashba, and that's why we presume it to be unlikely that she's going to stop seeing Dam the day that she starts. And the only way to get out of that is with the mochdachuk to make sure that it really did stop. But that's only if it's hoksak mayanasa pasuach with the legitimate riyah. But mechatesi that if she sees a dad on a bedika klap, that's not hoksak mayanasa pasuach. So why should you treat that as yamal thuriyasa? The Shach says we do. So we're machmir like the Shach, but Rabbi Karp says at least as far as the mochdachuk is concerned, that you could be makel not to require mochdachuk. And they're not treated as Yom Aleph L'Riyasa L'Inyan Zeh. Okay. Rav Avadya's Mekel Eved also, page Reish Peches. And Rabbi Forst is Machmir in the text, even though he quotes Rav Avadya in the footnote. Okay. If and when you do perform a Mochdachuk, how long does the moch have to remain inside? Right, the Chabad says in the Rashba, Sheheisham kol bein hashmashas. So how long is kol bein hashmashas? So Moshe writes, kol bein hashmashas is till his rebbeinu tam, which is 50 minutes in the metropolitan area. So a woman does the hefsek tara sometime before shkia. She keeps the moch dafuk in until 50 minutes after shkia. But Rav Moshe acknowledges in Tshuva Kav Zayin to Rabbi Eider that the B'malkum Tsar, it's uncomfortable to keep it in that long. So B'malkum Tsar, he could be Mekel for 15 minutes, which is in the Ikar Adin, the earliest says, according to the Go. And Rabbi Eider quotes from Rav Henkin as well. Rav Henkin said 18 minutes. He also quotes from Byron Cutler. Byron Cutler said 72 minutes, because that was his Rebbeinu time. And in Eretz Yisrael, Piskei Das quotes from Avo Yashiv that Kedai Lahachmir for 30 minutes in Eretz Yisrael, where things move faster. Okay. Seth Mochtach. The Ramah, in the same breath as the minig of Rechitza, also records the minig of wearing Levanim. Where does that come from? So back to the same Mordechai B'Shem Rokeach that we quoted before. Tilbash Chaluk Lavan, so women should wear a white garment. She'im Tira O Chia Nikar B'Chalukah. That if she's going to see any subsequent time from the Hefsek Tara through the Shemin Kiyam, you'll be able to discern that there's dam on her garment. So the reason for levanim is shehei mara dam mikrobo, that you should be able to see if there's any dam, it'll show up on the garment. And that's the source of this Rama. Take a look at the Taras HaShlamim, Sifkat and Ches. He writes, the gam Sarich Lios Beinyan Shakesa Nikerba Masha Ein Kein Chaluk Tzavua. Right, same idea, that it has to be, if you wear a colored garment, you won't be able to tell necessarily it's a kesa there. So if you wear a white garment, you'll be able to tell that there's a kesa. And if you look in the Gaon in Sifkat and Yud, he's mitzayin the Gemara Shabbos Yugimol Tana Devel Yod B'mei Libunayich. So it sounds like the Gaon is telling us that that's the reason the Gemara employs the terminology of Bimei Libu Nayich for Shivanakiyim is because a woman would wear Levanim. So Bimei Libu Nayich, the days of wearing white. Okay. So even though the way this is formulated in the Mordechai is Tilbash Chalok Lavan, and the Rama writes Tilbash Levanim. But Poskim generally assume that the Iker Kima the Minag is that the Beged that's Behudak the Besari is going to be Lavan. The point is to ascertain whether there's any dam coming out or whether you're going to catch a kesem. So it doesn't make a difference if the outer garment is white. What matters is whether the undergarment is white. If you look back in the Lashon HaMechaber, the Mechaber had written, the Yom Shepasakas Milira Subradekas Atma Kamur Tilbash Chaluk Habadukla She'ein Bo Kesem U'Balayla Tassim Stinim Habidukim Iksamim U'Miyamamachas Tassu Lispor Shivan Akim. So in the Mechaber there's no reference to Levanim, but there is a reference to Bidukim, that they're checked, meaning that they're clean. And that you find in the Kisser Hilchos Nida LaRash, the reference to Bidukim as opposed to Levana. The Rabbi Carr points out that there could be that Medina, and they need to be Bidukim. And the Minhag is that on top of, if they're not Bidukim, so then you run the risk that you may see a Kesem, that's an old Kesem, you won't be able to ascertain what's new as old. Levanim is Mimin Haga, that it's easier to discern if there's a new Kesem or any Dam on Begadim and Begadim Levanim. And that's where the Rama says that Ne'ikaradin, Levanim is not Li'ikuva. Right? B'shasad Chak, Yigad Yisha, Halech, Espedarach, Ve'ela Begadim, Tuch HaLis B'Shem Nekiyem, as long as she's wearing garments that are clean, levanim are not likuva, but clean maybe likuva. There are some rishonim that seem to indicate that levanim are likuva. Rabbi Karp quotes an Orchas Chaim that says that wearing levanim at the beginning of Shivan Akim is likuva. And there's a Me'iri like that. The Me'iri Brachas Amad Aleph Amad Aleph. Me'iri writes, Nimsa Achshav, Shekol Re'iya Be'olam Shetira Bodekas Asma B'chol Yom B'beged Lavan, U'beyom Shetisok Mishameres Ad L'Erev, Sheyichlu L'Gamri Yimei Riyasa, Ol Yom Re'iya, V'leveshes B'beged Lavan. So a woman has to wear a bag of lavan before she begins the count of Shivan Akim. Let's say the woman did a hefetara Monday afternoon, and she did not put on the lavan until Tuesday morning. Minag b'nos Yisrael, sheyom levisha sacholuk b'chlal yimei atema. The Eina Maschalis Limnos Shivan Akim Ada Laila. Sheyon Levisha Sachalo Kunido and Esel Anashim Bimei Hasek Lekailo Bimei Atumma. Limnos Shivan Akim Yom Achrasa. So Meiri writes that if a woman fails to put on Levanim at the onset of her Shivan Akim, right after the Hasek Tara, you have to delay the Shivan Akim by a day. So putting on Levanim as the start, at the start of Shivan Akim, the Me'iri says, Minhag Benos Yisrael is to treat that as being Likuva. So there are, even though it's not reflected in the Ramah and Shulchan Aruch, but there are some Rishonim that have such a Lashon, that at least for the start, not wearing Shivan Akim at the start of Shivan, not wearing Levanim at the start of Shivan Akim, may be Likuva. Chachmas Adam has the following line, Simon Kufi Zayin Oschas. Chachmas Adam writes, the impasha velo lafsha begadim levanim, rai lakansa. that if a woman is pashas, she wantonly doesn't wear begadim levanim, she should be consent. So what does that mean, she should be consent? We fine her $100, or what's the knas? Bali Yisholcha and Sivkata Nun Gimel, and Piskei Das, Perek Tazai and Sifav. So both Bali Yisholcha and Rabbi Morgenson say, it means, we consent her, that it doesn't count towards the Shiv Nikiyam. That if she doesn't put on the Vanim, it doesn't count to the Shiv Nikiyam, and she has to start anew. Even though the Bali Yisholcha isn't sure why that should be. Because that doesn't only consent her, it consents her husband too. So what's the pshia of the husband here? Rabbi Willig points out that he doesn't think that's pshat in the Chaf Masadam. Because if you look in a different piece in the Chaf Masadam, Kufya Gimel Os Mem. There he writes as follows. The Chacham Sadeh talks about situations where you could be nakel to be Tola a kesem on a previous episode. So in that context, the Chacham Sadeh writes, Imlo, this is a Kufi Gimel Mem, Imlo she pasha v'lo lav she beged lav v'bimei svivas. Unless we talk about a woman who was poshas and did not wear levan v'bimei svivasa, the ra'i lekansa, that she should be consent. The afil in pasha, in he amera si makaris osak samim, it's with ayin, shahayu bo minidos ne'amenes. So he writes that if she says that she recognizes these ksamim b'tvias ayin, then she would be believed to say that this is a previous kesem. So here the context of being consenting a woman who is poshas v'lash alavanim is not to give her the license to rely on kulas ksamim. So Rabbi Willig thought that's shot in this Chaf Masadam as well. When he says to consent her, it means to consent her not to give her the right to rely on kulas ksamim of tzivonim. And a woman's supposed to be wearing levanim. She's pashas and she wears tzivonim instead. And she finds a kesem and a beged tzavua. So in a vacuum, in hilchos ksamim, she finds a kesem and a beged tzavua, you could be nakel. But if the woman wantonly did not put on the levanim when she was supposed to, she finds a kesem on a beged tzavua, so the Chacham Sadeh says, we consent her to treat that as a problematic kesem. So it's not that we consent her to start the clock again, to restart the Shiv Nikiyam, we consent her, she doesn't have the right to benefit from her tzivonim to have kulas ksam on the tzivonim. Yeah.
But it depends how you look at tzivonim, but it's like a practical thing, you know, to kesem.
Right.
So it's hard to knas, I mean, fundamentally, you still can't actually identify as kesem unless we're to be mocking or be sub like as a knas.
Well, that's what a knas is, that we, independent of the technical rules of kulas ksamim, even though it falls into kulas ksamim, we consent you that you don't have the right to cash in on that.
You end up being
mafmir on
like everything.
Kesem is
all the things you can't identify
because
on tzivonim. It's
going to be mafmir
maros,
it's going to
be mafmir. Maybe size, because like it's hard to tell.
No, I think if that's what's coming, it probably just means on tzivonim. You're not going to gain from wearing tzivonim. If it was a kesem that's pachos mikigris, then you'd probably still be makel. But if it's a kesem as Yoshim Mishigris on Tzivonim, that had it been on Levonim, you'd have to be Machmir, so we constantly have to be Machmir that as well.
Does it extend to even beyond Shemekim?
I think it's the Knas extends to Tzivonim beyond Shemekim. No, the Knas is if you're now Levonim during the Shemekim, so we treat it as if you weren't wearing Levonim, Le'inyan Kluos Ksam. Right. Okay. I'm sorry? If you're Parshas. It's only if you're wearing Tzivonim B'tzia, you know the din, and you're not following it, so then the Chachmas Adam says we can't see it.
You're saying, but if we have like a real excuse for you to be...
Yeah, that's not his need. He's saying if you wear B'tzia, don't wear Levonim when you're supposed to wear Levonim.
Case where like you start out with
shears
and then you know
if you're lost
in
the
shear
of a self bonus.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You
can't get a clean
okay, so I don't know if the Chachmas Adam it's the onus to self shear. I don't know if the Chachmas Adam would apply to that case. So let's just try to wrap up a little bit that Levanim. So the Mechaber also wrote, in addition to wearing a chaluk habadukla, the Mechaber writes, "Belaila tasim stinim habaduka biksab." You also have to have sheets that are bedukim. That's also based on the Mordechai. The Ramah doesn't mention stinim levanim per se, right? The Mechaber writes bedukim. The Ramah adds Levanim, but he only adds Levanim in the context of Begadim. He doesn't mention Stinim per se, but presumably that's not a Diuk, because the Ramah does mention Stinim Levanim in Hilchas Tisha B'Av and Hilchas Avelis. Hilchas Avelis, Shinpei Aleph Sifhei, Shinpei Aleph Hei, Hilchas Tisha B'Av, Tav Kuf Nun Aleph Gimel. In both of those places, the Ramah, when he talks about Levanim, mentioned Stinim as well. So presumably, since the Mechaber did mention Stinim, and the Ramah says Levanim on Begadim, he means on Stinim as well. Rav Osner points out here in the Shir of Shevet HaLevi that in the Ikar HaDin, the minhag for wearing Stinim Levanim was only relevant bismanehem, where women do not wear undergarments when going to sleep. And then there's a possibility of having direct contact between her body and the sheets. So then the need for a sheet is equivalent to the need for a beged to make sure that there's no doubt. But in a society where women typically do wear undergarments and there wouldn't be direct exposure to the sheet, then make it in. The minhag of using stinim levanim would not be as critical. So Shira Shevelevi says, Rav Osner says that there isn't really a need to use white sheets anymore, but there should at least be clean sheets, which is what the Mechaber had written. Rabbi Morgan is a question of Yashiv that you should use white sheets nowadays too, because that was a minhag, and there's no reason to change the minhag of using white sheets. Moshe as well, in Tshuva Kav Zayin, Rabbi Eider writes that you should be machmir, because maybe the undergarments aren't sufficiently tight-fitting, so there's need to have white sheets anyway. Rabbi Forrest, on page 214, points out that the Lashon of Mordechai, which is the source of the Mechaber here and the Ramah, was stinim levanim onikim, that white or clean sheets. So Rabbi Forrest suggests, if you go back to the original source of this minhag, then there's more ample grounds to be making nowadays not to require white sheets, as long as the sheets are clean. And Rabbi Willer's general recommendation is dafka not to use white sheets because the reason doesn't apply anymore, and it's a chumra al sidrei kula, because if you're going to use white sheets b'mei shivanakiyim, then you may end up using white sheets other times. And if you use white sheets, bimei tarasa, then you may end up having trouble because you don't have tzavonim to rely on. So Rabbi Ruler's recommendation is not to own white sheets, because if you don't own white sheets, you won't use white sheets. And if you don't use white sheets, then you won't trip up by having them. Okay. As Rami, just to conclude, as Rami alluded to, there are situations where poskim may be mako to allow a woman to wear tzavonim during Shiva Nikiyah, where there's a damaka that a woman's having difficulty becoming clean from. And then you could rely on the kulos of ksamim on tzavonim even during Shiva Nikiyah if there's a particular need to do so because of some known maka or a situation where a woman is having difficulty becoming tahora. That's already Chuvas Marsham. Chuvas Marsham Chelek Aleph Simin Pei Aleph Chelek Aleph Simin Pei Aleph. Rabbi Karp does say on page Kluf Yud Zayin that if you are going to be Mako in conjunction with the Poseg, obviously, to wear colored garments during Shiva Nikiyah, it's better to wear lighter colors, where in a way that you'll be able to tell if there's dam. So it's more nikar behemadam, so that if it's just going to be, even if you're wearing tzavonim, if it's a real re'iyah, then it's not going to help you. So you'll better be able to tell what you're dealing with if you have lighter colors, but you'll still be able to latch on to the kulos of tzavonim in a situation where that's going to help you. Rabbi Forst, on page 214, quotes from Rav Cheskel Roth, even though I looked, but I didn't find this in Rav Cheskel Roth's own Sefer, which is published, I think, in the 70s, so maybe this was later. But he quotes from Rav Cheskel Roth, an Eitzah, that if a woman is going to wear tzivonim, where she needs to, she should put a white tissue inside the undergarment. Because that way, you'll have a kiyum of levanim, but it's not going to pose any problem for Simon because the tissue anyway is in the makabel tuma, and it's on top of tzivonim. I'm sorry? That's what Rabbi Forrest quotes from Cheskel Roth. Rabbi really didn't think that was so compelling because there's no halacha moshe b'sina levanim. The point is, shei dam nikar. So to have the dam nikar, you can have dam nikar on tzivonim behirim also. There's no halacha moshe b'sina that it has to be white. So we'll talk next time about the requirement of bedikos during Shiva Nikiyah. Is there a requirement of bedikos on the levanim? You have to check the begadim or the steinim if you have levanim. So Rabbi Kiveger has a lashon here, two words: lios bedekas v'chachila atma v'chaluka. They have to check not only yourself, but you have to check the garment. Sidri Taras of Katan Tesvav points out that this is the lashon of the kitzer of the nidan, the rush as well. Tivdak b'chayom atma v'chaluka. So it sounds like there's a requirement to check the garment as well. Revazer points out, chelak vav simen kuf kaftes os yizayin, chelak vav simen kuf kaftes os yizayin. Even according to this, when it says you have to check haluka, it means samach, the beged of samach lebuf. So when do you have to check it? Rav Avadia thinks you should check it twice a day. Rabbi Forrest writes that you check it when you take it off. Whenever you take it off, you check it. I think that is the more conventional minhag olam. Rabbi Eider, on page 118, questions why should it be twice a day? The Rosh only writes b'chol yom. And he says that if a woman is worried about ksamim, she could try to manage the system a little bit and change her undergarment more frequently, so that you don't have accumulation of a sheer gris. But bottom line, even if there is a requirement of checking the garment, that's definitely not ma'akev. And it sounds like the the more conventional tzak would be, or advice, is that when you take off a garment, then you check it. but there's no formal requirement of checking twice a day, as even though Rav Avadia did recommend that. Okay, we'll stop here for today, and next time we will start talking about the bedikos of Shiva Nakiyah.